look at Hebrews 11:8, amen, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you do have a city for us, waiting for us. And Father, while we're here, we pray that you'd continue to guide us and lead us with your word and by your spirit, so that when we make it to that great day, God, we will have some crowns to cast before your feet, Lord God, to bring glory to your name. And so now, God, just bless your word. Let it, hallelujah, go out and fulfill the purpose for which you sent it. Sanctify us, save and deliver, in Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been in the book of Hebrews, amen, and we've been talking about the heroes of the faith, and so we are on right now, Abraham. Somebody say Abraham. And last time we was here, we talked about how Abraham, he was in the promised land, in the land that God had promised to him, but some things was going on even though he had the promise. We saw that he sojourned in the land, amen. And we said this was reminiscent of God giving us a promise, but us not possessing it yet. We can see it, we can feel it, we can taste it, but it ain't ours just yet, amen. And a test of faith, amen, is when you know that God's going to bless you with something, amen, and it come close to you. The test of faith is to be able to wait on the Lord. Somebody say, wait on the Lord. And that's what Abraham did. He sojourned in the land of promise. He waited for the promise to be fulfilled, even though the blessing was right around the corner. And I gave you a prophetic word just to tell some of y'all that, amen, your blessing is right there. Amen. You just got to wait a little longer. Come on, give God some glory. He said he sojourned in a strange land. And that strange in the Greek, if you remember, was a word that described hostility and opposition. And we told you sometimes, amen, you can have the promise, amen, but still be experiencing opposition and hostility, whether it's from people or from the spiritual realm, amen. And a lot of the times, amen, when you're closest to your blessing is when you get the most resistance, amen. The devil try to turn you away from what's yours, amen. And so we got to be resolute, we got to be resilient, amen, knowing that weeping may endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning light. We just got to push through the fog because we're on the brink of a breakthrough. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Lastly, we talked about in tabernacles. And this was all about Abraham being in the promised land, it being his land, but him having to live in his land in tents while he watched, amen, the Canaanites living in walled cities and houses and mansions and castles. And we told you, amen, that sometimes you can have the promise, and the promise is on the way, but you're going to watch other people enjoy the promise before you get it. And that's one of the strongest tests that we can go through, amen. That's one of the hardest things that we have to endure, because you got to endure it and remain in position. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen. Not to get jealous, not to get mad at God, not to try to rush God. Amen. But to watch somebody else get what you've been praying for, be happy for them, and remain in a position of faith. That's when you're Abraham in the spirit. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. And I don't know about y'all, but you see, that's really the test. Amen. Before his best. Amen. That's really the test before his best. It's been my experience, especially receiving things from God, amen, that right before I'm about to get it, I see somebody with it, amen. And God is just showing me, amen, hallelujah. Look what that look like, what you're going to be driving, what you're going to be living in, what you're going to be having, amen. It's not something to get mad about, amen. It's something to use as an encouragement. Because if you know your relationship with God and you're a child of God, you know he never going to bless one of his children with something that he not going to bless his other children with something. God is not a respecter of persons. You just got to wait on your time, amen? And so as we see each other get blessed, amen, listen, rejoice, amen, because listen, that's just another person that done got theirs in the line in front of you, and your blessing is closer than when you first believed. Come on, give y'all some glory, amen. All right, so listen, we're going to have 3 points tonight just coming out of verse 9. And as we look at verse 9, it's 3 things, amen. And this sermon, y'all, is going to be a reminder, amen. It's not something new, not something you ain't heard. Well, maybe some of the new believers that's in here is probably going to be new. But we're not always here for a new word. We're here for a rhema word, amen. That's what we're here for, amen. And so I'm going to have 3 points coming out of verse 9. With Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him, and of the same promise. With Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him, and of the same promise. Let's begin with our first point. With Isaac and Jacob. And it's coming out of verse 9. It says, by faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Watch this. With Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, of the same promise. Now, when the Bible says with Isaac and Jacob, we have to realize, y'all, that Abraham was not with just anyone while he was waiting on his promise. You got to understand what I'm talking about. He was not just with anyone while waiting on his promise. You see, who you're with affects the execution of the promise. You can be with certain people that hold up your promise. We're not getting off the subject here. The subject is faith. The subject is you got the promise. The subject is the breakthrough is right around the corner. But I'm trying to tell you here tonight that there's some people around you that can stop your breakthrough from manifesting. Ooh! He wasn't with just no anybody, y'all. He was with Isaac and with Jacob. You see? It is believed that Abraham was still alive during the days of both Isaac and Jacob. And he chose to be with a select group of people. And choosing to be with a select group of people, we know that Abraham cut some people out of his life. And I'm here to tell you, amen, in this first point, amen, that Abraham, he cut himself off from old associations that was dragging him down. Anybody hear me up in here? Who was he with, Philadelphia? He was with who? With Isaac and Jacob. Who you with tonight? Who you with tonight? Because who you with gonna determine the timing of your blessing. Oh, y'all got to hear me up in here. You see, if they were not going in the same direction as Abraham, regardless if they were family, friends, associates, whatever, Abraham dealt with that in a way that was consistent to him glorifying God and him going in the direction that God wanted him to go. Come on, give y'all some glory, amen. You see, unspiritual people, worldly people, sinful people, ungodly associations will keep us from inheriting and possessing what God has promised us. Are you hearing me up in here? Just put yourself in the situation of God. You hanging around with all the wrong people. And God got a big old blessing up here for you. Now he done told you over and over again to leave them people alone. Because he know them people ain't no good for you. Now, if you God, would you add money to that situation? An already unhealthy situation. You see, the scripture tell us clearly, y'all. We've heard it before. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together. With who? With unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion had light with darkness? You see, for those that's new to Philadelphia and maybe new to the faith, when a farmer would go out to plow his land, he would put his cattle on what's called a yoke. It was a wooden apparatus that attached two animals to a plow. But the problem with that is that God always commanded them, even in his word, don't you ever attach two animals that's not the same when you plow your field. That's what it means to be unequally yoked. You got a donkey on one side and a cow on the other. Unequally yoked. When a plowing mechanism is unequally yoked, you can't get a straight line. And some of y'all can't get a straight line in life because you're unequally yoked. How can two walk together unless they agree? Is anybody hearing me tonight? You see, the problem with an unequal yoke is that when you got one animal that's stronger and one animal that's weaker, the animal that's stronger begins to pull the plow in his direction. And if you stay a while and watch, it's not going to plow rows in the field. It's going to plow circles in the field. Anybody hear me up in here? You got some people that's unequally yoked, and you can't understand why you keep going around the same place, why you keep going around the same thing. I'm telling you tonight, it's either going to be 2 weeks or 40 years, but I'm giving you the formula to get your row right and make it 2 weeks. Stop being unequally yoked unless you like the mountain you're going around. Nobody could help you but you in this situation. Nobody could pass this test but you in this situation. Pastor can't pass this test for you. Every believer must walk through this test right here. It's the Abraham test. It's the test to see if you're big enough, if you're man enough, if you love God enough, if you're woman enough to cut people out your life that's going to take you from God. He was with Isaac and he was with Jacob. He wasn't with just no anybody. You see? Watch this, watch this. You see? Pastor, what does it mean to be unequally yoked? Believer, it means we cannot enter into any serious relationship with an unbeliever. Any serious relationship with an unbeliever. Pastor, what's a serious relationship? I'm glad you asked. You can't marry an unbeliever. That's a serious relationship. And if you can't marry them, then what in the world are you doing dating them? Unless you just feel like playing a little while. But woman of God, we not here to play. We not even really here to date. Anybody you get with is not called a date. It's called a courtship. I'm looking for my husband, for my Boaz. And if you ain't saved, then why am I wasting? We cannot marry unbelievers. You can't enter into a serious relationship with them. What else, Pastor? You can't choose them out as your best friends, as your intimate bosom buddies. Unbelievers can't have that role in your life. You see? What's another serious relationship, Pastor? We can't get in any type of business partnership with them. We can't do it. We can't do it. You see, Laban wanted to stay in business with Jacob. Because Jacob was saved. Jacob was a believer. Jacob was a man of God. Don't think it's strange when the world want to be in business with you. Because you got the favor on you. You got the promise on you. They just doing it because they know they don't have it. They just trying to grab your heel and hold on to what you got. They thinking that you going to lift them up. But what's really going to happen, they're going to bring you down. Are you hearing me up in here? One of the worst things is when you jump in the water to try to save somebody. And they begin to kick and fight. That's why the lifeguards, they tell them, amen, don't jump in until they stop kicking. Until they almost, sometimes they tell them, don't even jump in until they go under. Let them get good and tired. Because if you jump in while they're still fighting, they'll not only drown themselves, they'll drown you too. I'm here to tell you they got some people in your life that's drowning you too tonight. Woo! You trying to save them, but they ain't ready. They still fighting. I pray it's rhema for somebody. Listen to me right here, man. Listen to me. The reason we don't enter into close relationship with them like that, BB, is this. Unbelievers have a different worldview than us. They're on a different road than us. They're going through a different gate than us. They're heading to a different place than us. That's why he say, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? You see, Mike, I'm on the straight road. They on the broad road. I'm entering the straight gate. They entering the wide gate. I'm following my Messiah. They following the world. So how in the world two people that's going different directions, different destinations, going to somehow yoke themselves together, somebody going to get off track? Are you hearing me up in here? And usually it's the believer. How can you say that, Pastor? Because a little leaven, leaven the whole lump. You see? Pastor, give me some examples. Well, if you marry an unbeliever. No, let's go back. If you're dating an unbeliever, all right? Pastor, what kind of trouble that's going to bring? Well, your worldviews are different. As a believer, you dating, but you want to stay righteous in your heart. You want to be holy in your heart. You want to stay away from fornication and sexual immorality in your heart. The unbeliever not going to have that worldview. And so we have a complication right here. We got the believer wanting to do things what God wants him to do, but the unbeliever want to continue to do the things that the devil and the world want to do. That's why he said don't be yoked together. So you marry them anyway. How you going to raise your children now? In the worldview of the world, that say don't whip them, give them everything that you can give them, let them go to any kind of school, let them do anything they want to do. They don't have to go to church. All right. But your worldview is different than that. But you don't marry an unbeliever. Every time you go to discipline your child, it's a problem. Because they don't understand the ways of God. They're looking at the Ellen show to see how to raise a child. And we're looking at the word of the Most High. Anybody hear me up in here? You see? Marry an unbeliever. You go to tithe. What the unbeliever going to say about that? Tithe, boy, we could be paying our cable bill with that. Marry an unbeliever and you want to be at church every Sunday, every Tuesday. You won't come when we having other things. And what the unbeliever going to say about your church attendance? You over that too much. You see the problems that can cause? That's why he said don't be yoked together with them. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. Same thing in business. In business, the unbeliever going to want you to do immoral things. Things against your God. They're going to want you to do things to make more money, not give God more glory. You see? The unbeliever businessman, his God is Mammon. But your God is Yahshua, Yahweh. The problem is that business can't have two masters. You don't get in business with them. Now, they could work for you. And in certain situations where it's a clean job, you could work for them. You see? But you can't be unequally yoked with them. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I got to say this again. The weaker animal will be pulled in the direction of the stronger one. And what you're going to have in the field is not straight lines, but circles. When animals are unequally yoked, they cannot perform the task that is set before them. You, being a child of God, unequally yoked, will not be able to perform the task set before you. You will have a purpose and not fulfill that purpose as long as you are unequally yoked. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. Few scriptures before we leave this point. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications, what they do? Corrupt good manners. In case you can't understand that, I brought it in the NIV for you. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts even good character. No matter how good person you are, you hang around the wrong people, amen, you're going to start acting like the people you hang around with. You see? Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see? There's people keeping you away from inheriting the blessing. Proverbs 9:6. Forsake the foolish and live. You see, like that? That's something you put on your wall. That's something you put on your refrigerator. You see? I told you before, Philly, that the devil put a fool in the life of every believer. Every believer, look at your life. There's a fool there. And hopefully you ain't married a fool because it's too late. But you're going to have a fool brother, a fool sister, a fool friend. Hopefully it's not a parent that's a fool. But the Bible says, forsake the foolish and then what? Live. How many people want to live in here tonight? How many people want to really live tonight? I'm talking about the abundant living. I'm talking about the blessed living. You can't do that with the foolish in your life. You can't do that with the foolish in your life. Yeah? Me and First Lady, we ain't got no time for no foolishness. We really don't. We ain't got no time for foolishness. And unbelievers? Oh, no. We beyond that. I'm going to talk about some other stuff when we get to the believers. But unbelievers? Oh, no. That was an early test. And that test has been passed to the glory of God. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. Oh, yeah. We got best friends, bosom buddies. Huh, First Lady? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Where you at? You know where I'm at. We want to see you. Well, come see me. Sundays at 9 a.m. Tuesdays at 7. Why you want me to go where you go? Uh-uh. Long enough I done lived my life like that. Psalm 26:2. Watch this in the NLT. Watch this. He said, put me on trial, Lord. That's what the psalmist says. He said, cross-examine me. He said, test the motives. Test my motives in my heart. For I'm always aware of your unfailing love. You've been too good to me, Dad. And I know you love me. And I've lived according to your truth. Look what David said. I do not spend time with liars. Or go along with hypocrites. I ain't got no time for no foolishness, David said. Man, I ain't playing with that. When I see that sign, David said, man, I ain't spending my time with that. Look what he said. I hate the gatherings of those who do evil. And I refuse to join in with the wicked. You see? Come on, give God some glory, amen. David, well, where you be if you're not like that? He said, I wash my hands to declare my innocence. I wash my hands. You see, some people you got to wash your hands with. He said in verse 6, I come to your altar, O Lord. I'm not with them people. I come to your altar, singing a song of thanksgiving and telling of all your wonders. Where you going to find me? I love your sanctuary, Lord. The place where your glorious presence dwells. That's where I'm at. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. So for the first point, we saw that Abraham, he was with Isaac and Jacob. Let's look at the second point. Heirs with him. Heirs with him. And it's coming out of verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him. Abraham hung around people who were heirs with him. You see? Not only do we have to refrain from hanging with certain types of people, unbelievers in the world, sinful, but you're going to have to start hanging with certain people. Are you hearing me? Some people you got to cut out your life, but there's some people you're going to have to add into your life. It's not enough just to count and not add these in. And it's not enough to add these in without cutting them out. Both actions got to be done for you to live a healthy, balanced Christian life and for you to get all the things that God promised you. Listen to me good. He hung around with the heirs of the same promise, the heirs with him, all right? What you saying, Pastor? We got a fellowship with other believers. We got a fellowship with other believers. The word fellowship means to hold something in common, all right? We don't fellowship with the world because we ain't got nothing in common with the world. What had light to do with darkness? I don't have nothing in common with you. You see? But the problem with a lot of believers still hanging with people of the world, there's something in you that still got something in common with them. Oh, God, y'all ain't. That's the reason for the attachment. The attachment gonna dissolve itself when the commonality disintegrates. When y'all ain't got, what do we have to talk about? What do we got to meet for? What do we got to, you know, we ain't got nothing, there's no commonality here. You see, you're with people, you fellowship people, y'all have something in common between one another. Well, what do we have in common with the people of God? God. His word, his spirit, his ways, where we go in heaven. Righteous living, holy, we striving for. There's a lot of things that we have in common with one another. But we ain't got nothing in common with them. You see? Psalm 119:63, look what it says. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. And of them that do what? Keep thy precepts. That's what the psalmist says. I could meet anybody, the psalmist says. As long as they fear you, God. As long as they're striving to keep your commandments, I'm a companion of them. I'll be a friend to them. I could meet them and not know them and feel like we've been knowing each other 10 years. Why? Because we got a common thing that we both love God. Come on, give y'all some glory. Psalm 101, watch this. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, they striving for perfection, he shall serve me, David says. David says, I want to be with the faithful. I want to be with the people striving for perfection. Psalm 119:79, let those that fear thee turn unto me, David says, and those that have known thy testimony. I love this in the NLT. He says, let me be united with everybody? No. I will be united with all who fear you, with those who know your laws. You see, problem with the church, they want to be one with people that's not one with God. They want to be one with people that's not one with God. You see? Oh, no, friends. Jesus came to bring division. He came to bring a sword. He came to separate people that's living in the same house. He came for that. Who are we going to be united with? Those that fear him. Those that love him. Those that's walking after him. So it means it's going to be some people we're going to give up. But guess what? It's going to be some people we're going to gain as well. Woo! You see, we got a fellowship. And the fellowship, P, is not a suggestion. It's a command of God. You see, because God knows you can't be who you are without other believers living life with you. You can't. You can't. Because there's some things that God want to do with you, that he want to do to you, that he can't do it unless you bring the right people in your life on the side of you. All right? Some things won't come out you without the people of God being close to you. We often taught you that there are three pillars of the church, three things the believer got to keep constant in their life: prayer, the word, and fellowship. These three things are like the water, the oil, and the gas, and the combustion engine. Without one of them, amen, I'm telling you right now, you're going to blow a rod, amen, your engine going to stall. Fellowship is one of those things, and it's important. You see, before you fellowship with other believers, you think you Moses. You think you the Apostle Paul. But once you get around believers, believers are going to show you some things about yourself that you got wrong. Amen. You see, by yourself, looking in the mirror, there's no imperfections. But when you fellowship with believers, imperfections going to come out. They're going to come out one or two ways. One, the believer you fellowshipping with is a little bit further along than you, so their light is going to be brighter than yours. When you get near them, you're going to know that you're dirty. That's one way. But another way is that the believer might be under you, not as mature as you. And they're going to push all your buttons, the wrong buttons, because they're not right just yet. So they're going to test you in every area you need to be tested, and you're going to figure out the area that you need work in. Oh, God have mercy. I'm telling you. So he tells us in Hebrews 10:25, the command, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. He said, you got to assemble. You got to get together. You got to spend time together. Amen. And in the essence of that word fellowship, it's just not sitting down and doing nothing. Fellowship is just spending time together no matter what you're doing. Y'all could be singing together, dancing together in the presence of the Lord, worshiping together. Y'all could be, amen, working the nursery together. Y'all could be in the sound booth together. You don't have to just be sitting down doing nothing. You could be running plays, playing football together, softball together. The whole thing is just being what? Together. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. Going to Walmart together. Girl, I'm going to Goodwill. Goodwill, you coming? Yeah. And that's what it is. You see? Somebody say fellowship. And he says you got to do it more and more as we see the day approaching. You see, because the day is going to wax worse and worse. It's going to get darker and darker. The world is going to get more tempting. And as, amen, Satan's time runs out, he's going to cut up more and more. So we're going to need one another more and more. We're going to need prayer more and more, the word more and more, but also fellowship more and more. Look at Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good and to good works. See, one of the influences of fellowshipping with the right people have on you is they can provoke you to do some good things. Some people you're going to be around in the faith going to bring the best out of you. You see? You're around them and they're going to provoke you to love. Some people you're around, they provoke you, but it ain't a love. You don't want to spend too much time with them. But you want to spend a lot of time with those that's going to provoke you to love and provoke you to good works. You get around them and you feel like reading your Bible. You feel like praying. You feel like witnessing. You feel like living right. That's the influence that fellowship can have. You see? The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And it says a man here, but it's really a person. You see, two believers, chances is like iron sharpening iron. All right. After the engagement, after the meeting, after the fellowship, both are going to be sharper than when they came in. And I don't care if we just watching the game together. There is an edifying that goes on when we just come together, when we just chill together, we just chilling. But the Bible says, if hallelujah, he said, two or more gathered in my name, what he says, there I am in the midst. There's a sharpening that's going on. Now, sometimes, Mike, amen, John, when you put two knives together, when grandma used to rub them two knives together, there'd be some sparks. And I'm here to tell you that that's natural, that these things happen, you see. We get a little sparks between ourselves, amen, and immediately, amen, We want to go. We want to talk about them. We want to run from it. You want to be sharp or you want to be dull? All right? We want to sharpen you. All right? You got some relationships, they don't challenge you at all. They don't call the best out of you at all. But sometimes, amen, we're going to get to it here in a second. You're going to get around believers that's not only going to provoke you to love and good works, but going to demand it out of you. They're going to say, no, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. You need to get that right. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But at the end of the day, you're going to love the one that was real with you, that rebuked you, that told you the truth. Bible says it. You're going to love him more than the one who was fake with you. That's why I'm telling you. That's why y'all here at Philly. Y'all could have been anywhere with these cotton candy words and all this stuff. Stroking your ego, how good you're going to be. Nah, you're rotten. You're dirty. You need a savior. You got some issues. Got some issues. Some daddy issues, some mama. You got some issues. But thank God he came to clean up our issues. Amen. Woo! My God. All right? But that's the sharpening process. All right? All right? And it sharpens it. It brings growth. Amen? It brings growth. All right? Hallelujah. That's how people, they talk about me in First Lady. Sometimes it sparks. You know, in our relationships with those that's close to us. It's okay. It's all right. To God be the glory. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hebrews 3:12. Watch this. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So he's warning you. Watch out for an evil heart of unbelief. But watch what he says right after that. 13. But exhort one another daily. So my heart can be affected evil. And that unbelief can tempt me, amen, to depart from the living God. But what can help me if I got a brother or a sister close to me that's going to exhort me how much? Daily. Somebody that's right there with me. Somebody, amen, I'm talking to, they in my life, amen. He said, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. But if that don't happen, if I don't have somebody in my life, a believer that I'm fellowshipping with on that level, watch what he says. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This fellowship, this daily exhortation, this iron sharpening iron. Listen, this could save you from being in a dark place, a tough place, a place where if you was alone, sin would deceive you and bring you in that cave and try to make sure you never get out. But with somebody, a believer with you, amen. You might go close to the cave, but they're going to say, girl, you better get away from that. You know? You might go into the cave, brother, go in there and get you. Come on out of there, my brother. You're married and you got children at the house. Don't go mess around them people. You see? Yeah. Now, the problem with this, with fellowship, is that you're going to meet some people that's not real. You're going to meet fakers. Even in the church. All right? And here you are looking for that iron, sharpening iron, but that ain't iron you're sharpening yourself with. That ain't nothing but an old piece of wood. And they ain't sharpening you at all. You run that knife against that old wood long enough, it don't sharpen it, it dull it out. So you're going to meet some people in the church, amen, who plan like believers, but they not believers. All right? And I would tell you, refer back to point number one. Don't hang with no unbelievers, even though they in the church. All right? All right. Now, I got to have a little caveat here. Because certain people, even though they believe us, they're not good for one another. This comes from experience. For pastoring, amen, these 12, 13 years, I've found that two people can be believers, but they're just not good for one another. The issues, the past that they come from, it just don't mix. And I've seen it manifest itself from where they don't get along. One come from a gas background, one come from a fire background, and when they get together, they ignite. Or it could be that they too much alike. And they like the wrong things, both of them. And when they get together, they don't fight each other. They don't fight at all. They get together and end up back in the same bondage that they was in. End up back on the drug together. End up back in the club together. So here's just a little pastoral wisdom. Fellowship, but be watchful. Fellowship, and be careful. Fellowship, and examine yourself when you're around them. How you feel? How my walk doing? Am I being provoked to good things? Or are they provoking me to want to grab them by the neck? Are they leading me to my Bible? Or they lead me back to the bottle. In every relationship, when you spend time, listen, couples, when you leave the other couple house from fellowshipping, how y'all feeling? Man of God, when you leave the presence of that other man of God, how you feeling? You see? And using those tools, you'll be able to tell who will sharpen you. And who will bless you on this walk. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. God bless you. And if one fellowship goes wrong, don't just throw in the towel and say, well, fellowship is for everybody else but me. No, fellowship is for all of us. We are all the sheep, the flock of God. And ain't no sheep hang around by themselves unless you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Sheep hang around in the flock. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. All right, all right. Let's look at this. Point number three. Here we go. Of the same promise. Of the same promise. The Bible says in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Who he was with? With Isaac and Jacob. Who were they? The heirs with him. But watch this. Of the same promise. You see? And this is what God spoke to me. You want to stay away from unbelievers. You want to get with believers. All right? But within the people of God, there are some people with the same promise as you. With the same promise as you. It's the same calling. It's the same goal. It's the same drive. We all believers yet, but we got different places we're going to end up. You want to find people within the body, amen, that's going the same direction you're going. And not just direction towards God, no, but specifically in the direction. You find people that's heading into ministry. You find people that's heading into business. You find people that's heading into home ownership. You find people that's heading to college and heading. You find people heading the same way as you. You see? And it's gonna bless you. You say, Pastor, why? What you mean by that? You see, y'all can encourage each other along the way. You see, if our believers that's in school would get with other believers that's in school, when that hard test coming around the corner, you can encourage them. Girl, keep studying. Listen, I took that same class and I got out of that. You understand what I'm saying? We overcome by the word of our testimony. You want to hook up with somebody that's going the same direction as you. All right? And I'm getting a little ahead of myself. There's three types of fellowship you should always be doing. A threefold fellowship, I call it. You find somebody ahead of you, right where you're at, and you should always be reaching back to pull somebody that's behind you. It's a threefold fellowship. And if you don't have that going on in your life, you don't have it just yet. See, some of y'all just looking for somebody ahead of you. That's good, but what about him over there? And what about the one that's even with you that you should be encouraging? But here you are, you looking snooty, amen, you don't want to deal with them, and you don't want to deal with them, but you just want to just deal with them, but you're just helping yourself. So the threefold fellowship is I'm reaching to be where this person is ahead of me, but I'm also looking at the person that's walking right with me. There's no competition, no nothing like that. We together with this. We're going to encourage each other. But at the same time, the new ones that's coming in, that's not quite where I'm at, amen. Listen, I done traveled that road before. You see, you reach back. Each one, reach one. Come on, give y'all some glory. It's a threefold fellowship. So as you look out for it, you won't look for the people with the same problem. First lady, she started a little women's group on the Remind. It's called Women Who Win. And it's filled with just the women entrepreneurs and business owners. And I'm on there. She having so much fun on there. I want to see too. What y'all talking about now? What's going on with that? It's such a great, great thing that she got going on. Women Who Win. And they encourage each other. And they answer each other questions. When one of them trying to do something with the Secretary of State, another one trying to do something with taxes, another one trying to do something with advertisement, promotion. And what's happening here, you got the threefold fellowship going on. You got some that's ahead of the game in business can say, girl, listen, you need to do this type of business. You need to do this type of tax bracket. You need to do this. And you got other ones who, listen, they ain't got nothing done. But they can look up and say, it can be done. I can get this. This one is right ahead of me. I can see her and I can. But it shouldn't just be in business. And worship and dancing. Who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? Would you be able to give me a name if I ask you? I'm not going to ask you. Don't get nervous. If I say, you got one back here? Who are you discipling? Because some of y'all just here to be disciple, but you ain't helping out the process. You see? We got to understand Ecclesiastes don't only apply to marriages, y'all. It applies to every realm of life. Two is better than one. You see that? You see that? Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls. And it can't just be your spouse, no. You need somebody else. You need somebody else. You can't be just be your spouse. Because sometimes y'all ain't fellowshipping at the house. That's something else y'all doing. You need a brother or you need a sister that you can talk with, that you can get with. You see? You see? A threefold fellowship. Now, before I go, as we call Carlos to the stand, I just want to say this. Sometimes the problem is you. You done tried fellowship, you don't like it, you don't like to be around people. And it's because usually you're so hard to get along with. You're so rough around the edges. You so don't want to let the smoothing process work out. So you, I don't want to be around the people. No. Get with God and let him fix you. You see? And you work on you until you could be around the people of God. Some of y'all don't know how to talk to the people of God. You're rough. You know, you're just, oof, God. You wasn't raised. You wasn't raised. Your mama was your friend. Your daddy was your boy. But you wasn't raised. You don't know how to talk to another man. You know, with respect. You wasn't raised. And God is bringing you into fellowship to raise you. To raise you. That fellowship is his way to expose. To expose the insufficiencies in your life. And you gotta let it work. You know? When people don't want to be around, you gotta say, man, God, what's wrong with me? I'm giving you a new prayer tonight because your prayer has been, what's wrong with them? None of them, none of them. Say it with me. Say, what's wrong? With me. Yeah. 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 I'm telling you, it's going to start off with this right here. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to start off with this right here. You can always catch more bees with honey than you can with that vinegar you letting out your mouth. And if you let it, I'm speaking to the lonely tonight. If you let it, you see, to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. That apply in the world, but it also apply in the church. Abraham was with Isaac and Jacob. He cut off the world. He got with the heirs with him, those that was going to inherit some things with him, the other believers. But within the believers, he looked for the people who had the same promise as him. We're going to walk together. We're going to open these businesses together. We're going to worship together. We're going to dance together. We're going to love these sports for the glory of God. We're going to do it together. We're going to do these motorcycles together. We're going to cook together. Everything we're going to do, we're going to do it together because you're going in the same direction. We got the same calling. You might be a little bit ahead of me. You can minister to me. You might be a little bit behind me, and I can minister to you, but we're going to do it, y'all. We're going to do it all together. We're going to do it all together. See. Fellowship. Now, saints, before I go, recognize that you can't fellowship with the people of God truly unless you're one of us. If you're not saved and you're still lost, and that worldview I was talking about, wanting to do you, do sin, do the world, if that's still in your heart, and you one of them talking about we the church too much, and you pray too much. If you one of them like that, and your mouth is revealing that you don't really love the things of God, got to check yourself. Bible says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. But the good news is tonight you come to the right place. We'll bring you into the bond. We'll bring you into the brotherhood. We'll bring you in to Christ, where you'll be one of us and we can rely upon one another to survive. The way to enter the brotherhood is to admit to God you're a sinner. To believe in his only begotten son, Yahshua Jesus, as the sacrifice for our sins. He died on the cross for every one of your sins. And he's the way of salvation. You can't save yourself at all. It's got to be all done through Christ. You got to believe that. And believe that when they put him in that ground, after 3 days, he rose. If you accept the tenets of the faith and you believe that, amen, with your heart, God's going to save you. And all you got to do is call upon him. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to pray together as a family. Stand with me, please. Stand with me. Then we're going to sing. Somebody say, Most High God, thank you for loving me and not leaving me alone. I admit I'm a sinner, but I know that you died to save me. And I believe you died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose. Save me. Forgive me, strengthen me, and show me my purpose so you can use me. But also, God, help me to fellowship, to get with the people of God. You said what I do to the least of my brothers, I do it to you. Lord, help me to love my brothers. Because in loving them, I'm loving you. Lord, help me to love my sisters. Because in loving them, I'm loving you. And now, Lord, give me thick skin. So when they rub me the wrong way, I don't run from fellowship. Help me by fixing me. In Jesus' name.